From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. As state officials consider whether to sign on to the Affordable Care Act's expansion of Medicaid, we'll take a closer look at how expanding health coverage for the poor would impact Florida. A recent analysis from Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute finds going ahead with the expansion could be a win-win for the state.
Our study found that the state can actually save money while ensuring that in the neighborhood of a million Floridians can get the health coverage they desperately need.
And when it comes to providing health coverage to kids, Florida is making strides but still ranks near the bottom nationally. We'll take a look at Florida's progress. Plus, Southwest Florida Addiction Services and Lee Mental Health recently announced they're joining forces. Find out how the merger could impact access to mental health treatment. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Coming up, we'll be taking a look at the status of mental health services in Southwest Florida. Two of the region's leading mental health treatment providers recently announced plans to join forces. We'll hear from Southwest Florida Addiction Services' Kevin Lewis and Lee Mental Health Center's David Winters about how the merger could impact their operations and local access to mental health treatment. That conversation's ahead in the second half of the show. But first, as state lawmakers across the country consider the Medicaid expansion provision of the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, we'll explore how increasing Medicaid eligibility to more needy Floridians would impact the state. Governor Rick Scott has been a longtime opponent of the federal health care overhaul and the proposed expansion of Medicaid, but comments made to reporters following the re-election of President Obama indicate the governor may be softening his stance a bit. While opponents to the Medicaid expansion cite cost as a main concern, a new study from Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute indicates going ahead with the expansion would be a win-win for Florida. Georgetown University's Center for Children and Families also recently took an in-depth look at rates of uninsured versus insured children across the country. The latest report shows that while Florida is making strides in growing the number of kids with health insurance, the state still ranks 48th in the nation when it comes to the percentage of children with access to medical care. Joining me now for a closer look at both these studies is research professor Joan Alker. She's one of the directors of Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute and a lead author in each of these studies. And in the interest of full disclosure, if the name sounds familiar to regular WGCU listeners, it's not a coincidence. Joan is actually a distant cousin of WGCU's own Valerie Alker. Joan Alker, thanks so much for your time this morning, and welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks for having me.
And I invite our listeners to join the conversation as well. If you have a comment or question, studio lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Write your posts on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Joan, let's begin with your report charting the nation's progress on uninsured children and what that indicates about what's happening here in Florida. It looks like for this period between 2009 and 2011, Florida was one of the top states when it comes to making progress on getting kids covered, but it still remains towards the bottom with one of the highest rates of uninsured kids.
That's right, John. What our report found overall is that as a country, the U.S. continues to make steady progress in reducing the number of uninsured children, despite the fact that we really haven't had a similar reduction in the number of children living in poverty. So that's great news, but that really reflects a strong commitment to children's health coverage through the Medicaid and CHIP programs nationwide. And as you say, Florida did show the third largest decline in the U.S. during the period we looked at. But unfortunately, Florida is starting from one of the worst places in the country, and in that respect, it's actually easier for the state to show a decline. So Florida still ranks 48th in the country, and about 12% of kids in Florida are uninsured as compared to a national average of 7.5%.
So, as you were saying, we kind of have nowhere to go but up if we're already at the bottom. Gotcha.
Right. Florida's been making progress in the last couple of years that we've done the study, but there are still almost 500,000 uninsured children in Florida.
And you know, looking at these other states that top the list in terms of the declines, Oregon, Texas, and Florida, in terms of their efforts to decline the number of uninsured kids, does this report look into any kind of commonalities among these states into why they're making these great strides in getting children covered? Or again, is it simply because they just have the largest number to begin with?
Well, we do look at this issue very closely across the country, and states can really make a difference here by essentially streamlining and reducing red tape, making it easier for families to enroll their kids in these programs and to retain that coverage once they're in there. So there's quite a bit of streamlining that Florida could do to coordinate coverage for kids. And I think with the advent of the Affordable Care Act and all of the work that Florida needs to do in 2013 to get ready for that, now is really the time for the state leaders to roll up their sleeves and look at all of these issues together.
Mm. You know, one finding in the report that I found particularly surprising was the fact that about two-thirds of children who are not insured are currently eligible for programs like CHIP and Medicaid and simply aren't enrolled.
That's right, although many of them have been enrolled at some point. Certainly some of those families are newly unemployed families in the recent recession may not be aware that they're eligible for coverage, and that's where it's important to do good outreach. But quite a few of these kids actually have been enrolled, but their coverage has been dropped through a series of sort of red tape snafus, confusion about the re-enrollment process. And that's where states can really streamline that. And I think you see, with respect to some of the other states that made progress, like Oregon, for example, Oregon has made a very concerted effort to reach out to these families and ensure that the kids stay covered.
So this is, again, that red tape issue that you're talking about. Oh, and I had also read about, you know, programs for getting adults insured where they would perhaps, and this is, I think, through the Affordable Care Act, could not, if they have children, their children have to be insured first.
That's right. So one of the other issues that we studied is whether or not it makes sense for Florida to extend Medicaid coverage to parents of these kids, as well as other adults who may not have children living in the home. As a consequence of the Supreme Court ruling, states now have to decide whether or not they're going to pick up some very generous federal money that's on the table to extend this coverage. And we found that would be a very smart decision for Florida to go ahead and do that.
We're talking with Georgetown University research professor and co-executive director of the school's Health Policy Institute. We're taking a closer look at Florida's standing nationally when it comes to rates of uninsured children. We're one of the leading states when it comes to making gains, but Florida still has one of the highest rates of uninsured children. Join the conversation with your calls to 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Post your comments on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media or send email to GulfCoastLive@WGCU.org. And when it comes to efforts to get more children covered, Joan, are there any disproportionately impacted demographics in terms of that state agencies ought to be targeting?
Yeah, so what we found is that nationally, kids who are school age are more likely to be uninsured. And we also found that Latino kids have a disproportionately high rate of uninsurance, as well as kids living in rural areas. And I'm sure that's true in Florida as well. One other Florida note I wanted to mention is that I think the nature of your economy and the fact that you have so many jobs, essentially in the service sector, both retail positions, restaurant positions, a lot of the kinds of jobs generated by the tourist trade really often don't provide health care coverage, and that's why you see really a problem for both the children and the parents with the high rates of uninsured folks that Florida has.
And as we'll see, you know, with season getting underway here, it's not really a income stable type of a job either. So besides not having the health coverage, they might not necessarily always be able to provide what they want to for their kids. I was curious about why it seems to be that children ages 6 and up are more likely to be uninsured.
Well, younger children actually have coverage through the Medicaid program in Florida, and you will see an alignment of that coverage. Some of them now are eligible for Healthy Kids. Come 2014, that's part of the Affordable Care Act. So that simplification may help in and of itself. But I think that, you know, as anyone who's been a parent knows, when you have a baby or a toddler, they're going to the pediatrician's office a lot.
Right.
A lot of checkups, and in many cases, that pediatrician will facilitate enrollment in the Medicaid or the Healthy Kids program.
Okay, and stepping outside Florida and onto the national stage again, you know, the report shows Florida was among 20 states that saw some kind of gain in increasing health coverage rates for children, with only Hawaii making significant gains. But the remaining 30 states, as you had mentioned, saw no significant change over this two-year period. From a public health perspective, should this report serve as perhaps a cautionary tool?
Yes, I mean, I think overall we had a good news message from our report, but there are some red flags that despite the improving economy, we saw fewer states showing a decline than we've seen in the past. But I really think the ball game is the year ahead. You know, 2013 is going to be a very busy year, particularly in a state like Florida, which essentially your governor and your elected officials by and large have said that they weren't going to move forward on the Affordable Care Act. Now, as a consequence of the election, they're sort of scrambling to address these very important issues. And I think everybody agrees we've got problems in our healthcare system, and the status quo needs change. And so Florida leaders are going to have to do some real hard work now to figure out how to implement the Affordable Care Act. Most of its provisions come into effect January 1st, 2014.
Okay, and we're going to get much more into that in just a little bit in the conversation. But I wanted to ask also about what do we know about the benefits of just having children insured? Are kids who are insured more likely to, as we know, have parents who are insured, access to acute and preventive medicine? I mean, are these kids more likely to or not miss school, things along those lines, develop healthy living habits later in life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you look at the statistics for kids who are enrolled in the Medicaid program as compared to private insurance, they look very similar. They're getting access to those preventive and primary care visits that are so important to make sure that kids get the immunizations they need and they grow up healthy, able to learn, and be productive citizens. So we know there's a lot of value out of Medicaid coverage, and also for their parents, we know that there's a lot of value for them obtaining coverage as well, which is the decision that Florida has to make now as a consequence of the Supreme Court decision. If you have a parent with coverage and you offer whole family coverage, that kid is more likely to be insured. And, of course, having parents who have access to health services is going to result in healthier parents, which is good for the kids as well.
And again, we're taking a closer look at rates of uninsured children in Florida compared with the rest of the nation and looking at national trends as well. A new report from Georgetown University shows Florida's making gains but still ranks 48th in the nation when it comes to the percentage of children without without health insurance. And we're also going to be talking about the prospects for a Medicaid expansion in Florida and the impact that would have. We're talking with Joan Alker of Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Join the conversation with your comments and questions. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or write on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And Joan, what impact will implementation of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act have on future editions of this report? This goes through from 2009 through 2011. Do you think on future years we're going to see a dramatic decrease in the rates of uninsured children because of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, another good question. So come 2014, we are moving to a new day in the healthcare system, and we are moving to what many people call a culture of coverage. The Affordable Care Act really intended to offer paths to coverage, affordable coverage, for uninsured people. Most folks who get coverage through their employers will not see really any changes in their coverage as a result of the Affordable Care Act. But the Affordable Care Act included two principal means for uninsured folks to obtain coverage. One is through new exchanges, which your state is right now debating whether or not to set that up themselves or let the federal government do it. And there will be tax credits to go with purchasing private coverage in that exchange. The second avenue is through this extension of Medicaid coverage to parents and childless adults who have low incomes. That's the piece that the Supreme Court essentially made optional for states. It had been a required part of the Affordable Care Act, and that's where Florida has to make a choice today. So moving forward, come 2014, we would expect to see the rate of children enrolling in your Medicaid program go up simply because there's going to be a lot of publicity about health coverage. There will be a new state exchange or federally run exchange in Florida. So we would anticipate some reduction in the number of uninsured kids anyway. However, there are some very important questions facing the state, which will really impact which direction Florida goes. The first, as I said earlier, is really whether the state's going to offer coverage to their parents and other adults, because offering whole family coverage will help get more kids enrolled. And the second is the level of facilitated enrollment, the ease at which families can interact with a new exchange and the new access to coverage options. Again, looking for a reduction in kind of red tape, a smooth system, an IT-driven system that will help families get connected to the coverage they need.
You know, even without thinking about things like income requirements and how much resources a state puts towards its Medicaid program, does really just that red tape have the biggest impact in terms of rates of uninsured kids?
For children, for children today, it really does, because the majority of children are eligible for Medicaid or Healthy Kids, but they're not enrolled. For parents and other adults, that's not the case. They really don't have much of a path to the Medicaid program at all today.
Well, let's. I think this is a good opportunity to switch gears a little bit and talk about this other report that has come out of Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute, really asking questions about whether Florida should expand its Medicaid program as an optional provision of the Affordable Care Act. Tell us just a little bit about the findings here, because it was a little surprising.
Yeah, so what we found is that Florida can likely extend coverage to about 1 million uninsured adults and children if the state moves forward and picks up this very generous federal matching dollars that are on the table. And the federal government is offering to pay 100% of the cost for the first 3 years for the newly eligible persons. And then over time, the feds will pay 90 cents on the dollar. So that's really unprecedented in the Medicaid program for the federal government to be paying such a high percentage. And it really is because this is essential to the Affordable Care Act's goal of moving towards universal coverage. So the other piece of the puzzle is that right now the state of Florida is spending money on uninsured people. You're spending money through dollars that are going into your medically needy program, which essentially is for folks who are bankrupted by high medical bills. You're spending money in emergency rooms where people who have no insurance are showing up when they get sick enough and have no other options. So what we found is that a really expanding in coverage would mean that people be able to access the preventive and primary care that they need rather than showing up in emergency rooms. You can get some savings there. It would be a smarter use of taxpayer dollars. And, in fact, if the state looked at its budget in totality, the state could save up to $100 million annually.
You know, and the issue of folks, you know, seeking treatments in emergency rooms or, you know, places like that where they have that, you know, that high overhead has long been a problem here. But then you have other types of safety net programs that you had mentioned that would be needed less and less if you had more people able to go to a primary care physician, have access to preventative care. What types of safety net programs do you think could be reduced if they expanded Medicaid?
Well, Florida right now has, as part of its Medicaid program, something called the medically needy, which essentially is for folks who have such high medical bills that they are almost bankrupted. So we're not saying that program could go away, because I think we'll still have some uninsured folks. But between the combination of the new tax credits that will work in the exchange and an extension of the Medicaid program, we think there would be significantly less demand for that program. That are other areas of the state's budget, mental health and substance abuse dollars the state is spending right now, that once those adults get into the Medicaid program and have access to mental health services, the state would likely be able to reduce. So there are a lot of ways in which this would impact the state's budget. And one other piece I wanted to mention is that Florida's hospitals really face a challenge if the state doesn't go ahead with this extension.
How would hospitals be at risk?
Well, the federal law assumed that all states would do the Medicaid expansion prior to the Supreme Court ruling, so they included some cuts in federal revenue for hospitals who are seeing uninsured patients. Those cuts are still going ahead. Really, the law wasn't impacted at all, except for this one issue of states choosing now whether to extend Medicaid coverage. So if the state doesn't move ahead with the Medicaid expansion, Florida's hospitals are going to lose that federal revenue, but they're not going to see the offsetting gains in coverage with patients who will come in now with Medicaid coverage.
Georgetown University Health Policy Institute Research Professor Joan Alker joins us this morning from the school's Center for Children and Families for a closer look at whether Florida should expand its Medicaid rolls. Give us a call and tell us what you think. Should Florida expand its Medicaid rolls and tell us why? Our number is 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And, you know, as policymakers in Florida and around the country consider their next move, one concern I've heard come up is how certain can we be that just because the federal government says now that they'll foot the bill for the entire expansion for the first 3 years, that we can count on the feds to do that? And I guess with all the budget pressure facing Congress members, how certain can we be that they won't shift more of the financial burden onto the states further down the road and then maybe leave state officials holding the bag saying, hey, wait a minute, we never would have expanded it this much if we'd known we were going to be having to deal with this financial burden?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And certainly all the talk here in Washington is about the fiscal cliff and what's going to happen with deficit reduction. So far, I think we have seen a very strong commitment on the part of the president to protecting these Medicaid dollars. This is really, as I mentioned, an essential part of the Affordable Care Act to get to the coverage goals. And I think the White House is aware of the problems that would ensue should these dollars get pulled back in the budget deal. I think they're very aware of that. I think the president sees this as part of his legacy. And so at the moment, I'm feeling relatively optimistic they're going to protect those dollars.
And whether or not the state of Florida takes those federal dollars, can we really characterize the report's findings as a cost savings? It is certainly for the state, but after all, no matter how you divvy up this financial burden, it is tax dollars that are going to be paying for it. So that could kind of be a tough sell for Governor Rick Scott or other fiscal conservatives who strongly advocate that less government and more growth in the private sector are the way forward.
Well, the money's already been set aside in the Affordable Care Act, so this isn't a new appropriation that Congress has to make. And I think we have to look at our healthcare system in totality. We are paying for uninsured people today. We're paying for them through taxpayer dollars that are supporting uncompensated care in the hospital ERs, and we're paying for them in our premium dollars because there is cost shifting that happens when you have uninsured people in the system. So the question is, are we going to approach this problem with a smarter use of our healthcare dollars by paying for preventive and primary care up front rather than having people get sicker and show up in the emergency rooms?
Do you think that's maybe a false perception that's a bit too prevalent in our country, that basically that there were these folks who aren't insured are simply not getting services, and when in reality they are going to places that are getting services at a more expensive price and it's costing everyone?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's awareness that we really have some problems in our healthcare system and that they need to be addressed. And I think that's a political risk for Governor Scott and other elected officials who essentially are sticking with the status quo by saying they're not going to move ahead with implementing the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, this is a work in progress. Our healthcare system is a major, major challenge facing our country. And I think everybody's got to roll up their sleeves and try to make something work.
And how would you characterize Florida's Medicaid program now? I remember when we had spoken a few weeks ago, we had talked about how if you are a family of three making $11,000 a year in Florida, you make too much money to be eligible for Medicaid. Does Medicaid eligibility in Florida, how does that compare to perhaps other states?
Florida's Medicaid eligibility is fairly stingy at the moment compared to other states in the country. I think what's interesting when we did our report on uninsured kids is that even if you look at the region, we tend to have more uninsured kids in the South than the West. But even for the South, Florida is not doing well at all with respect to the number of uninsured kids. You have the highest rate compared to some of your neighbors like Louisiana and Alabama have done very good jobs, and they've really reduced their number of uninsured kids.
And is that, again, cutting the red tape, the state making an aggressive push?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and take a call right now from Fred in North Fort Myers. Fred, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you have a
question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question for your guest. I do outreach work for the homeless in Lee County. And, of course, Obamacare indicates everybody must have insurance. And, of course, we know they don't have the money to buy it. My biggest concern is when they do need health care, it's usually the emergency room. And I've seen some of the bills. They're totally outrageous. So what's going on? What can we do?
Well, I think you're pointing to exactly the problem we've been talking about, which is that, unfortunately, people get sicker and sicker. And they don't have other options to go to a primary care doctor, and they wind up eventually in the emergency room. So just to clarify, the requirement for folks to have coverage is not going to it will not apply to folks who are very low income. So if the state doesn't extend Medicaid coverage, those folks will not be mandated to have coverage. However, they will remain uninsured, and we will have an odd consequence that folks who have more resources are eligible for the tax credits, but the most vulnerable folks will have nothing.
Right, because you don't file tax returns when you don't have income.
Yep.
All right, well, Fred, thank you so much for the call.
All right. Thanks. I hope it works out.
And I wanted to ask also, we had talked a bit about the health care exchange that will be set up in Florida, as we said, one way or another, whether Florida does it voluntarily or whether the federal government steps in and does it. But, you know, based on the findings of your report, why would setting up a health care exchange perhaps just not be enough? Why would we still need to expand Medicaid?
Well, folks below the poverty level are not eligible for the new tax credits. So if the state does not extend Medicaid coverage, those parents and other adults will have no option. They'll have no path to coverage at all. And given their low incomes, it's extremely unlikely that they will have an ability to purchase coverage. And many of them are working, but they tend to be working in part-time jobs, jobs that really don't offer health coverage.
And as a principal investigator of this study, how do you arrive at these numbers? What data are you looking at?
Well, for our children's report, we're looking at national data provided by the Census Bureau, and this is a new source that allows us to really go in-depth at the state level, so that's terrific. For our Florida work, we've actually worked for many, many years studying Florida's Medicaid program, supported by some foundations in Florida. So we do a more in-depth look at Florida's Medicaid budget and some of the state's own estimates.
And as lawmakers around the nation are, you know, really considering what they're going to do in terms of implementing the Affordable Care Act, do you know if they're looking at this analysis? I guess what I'm asking is, how do you hope this report will be used, or how is it intended to be used?
Well, I think we are very hopeful that that folks will consider our work on the Medicaid questions. I think there are post-election a lot of folks in Tallahassee who really are taking a second look at this issue. You saw both the incoming Senate President and Speaker of the House say we really have to consider this right after the election. So, you know, again, this is a complex issue, and the state really needs to do a thorough look at its Medicaid program and really across the budget to figure out how to end up with a smarter use of taxpayer dollars.
And Joan, can you tell us about perhaps any kind of upcoming reports or projects from Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute that might interest folks here in Florida?
Well, we'll continue to keep an eye on the uninsured kids rate. We're going to do that report every year, and we may continue to do some work specifically on Florida's Medicaid program in the spring.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for this portion of the show. I want to thank my guest, Joan Alker. She's a research professor and executive director of the Center for Children and Families at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Joan, welcome thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And find links to the reports we've been discussing online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. We're taking a short break, but when we return, two of the region's top mental health service providers recently announced plans to join forces. We'll take a closer look at the upcoming merger of Lee Mental Health Center and Southwest Florida Addiction Services. Stay with us.